Blog Talk Radio.
Down the road.
All right, we're here. We made it in. Welcome to the West Texas Pitmasters Barbecue Show on Sunday night, guys. I'd like to invite everybody to call in 347-202-0263. We've been in a snow and ice storm. Went down, hung out with Jeff White this weekend, got some wood. And it's been crazy. We've been on the road for over 6 hours today. So I'm kind of out of the loop. I don't know a lot what's going on or anything else. So if anybody's got any updates on the World Food Championship, any of that, invite them to call in. Give me some updates. I'm hoping maybe Jeff's seen it. We were going to talk a little bit about how the school went and everything yesterday, so maybe he'll call in here in a few minutes if he sees it. Sorry that we're running late, but I wanted to try to get some of it in, and we'll go from there. So I'm just making a post and stuff, trying to get it out there a little bit so everybody will kind of know real quick. And we went down, we hung out with the Redneck Cookers, Jeff White. Went to his class, hung out with Tim Alexander, Mark Bateman, and several other guys. I think there was about 11 or 12 of us down there. So we had a good day and kind of killed a couple of birds with one stone. I needed wood and stuff, so Jeff was able to hook me up with a guy down there that brought me a couple of cords of wood, and so that was kind of a great thing, and so we just, like I said, we had a good time, and then fought the snow and ice all day today, trying to get home, but we made it, and so it's all good. So we're going to have a show for probably about an hour, as long as it let us. So usually it let us go for about 30 minutes over the normal program time, which it's already programmed in there tonight. I didn't have time to change it. But generally we can go about 30 minutes past, but you have to call in and I have to log you in order for you to stay in the show and hear it after 9 o'clock. So I'd like to get everybody in, and we'll see if we can land people lots of chat here. But I know that there's been a lot going on. I set out in Nevada, and I'm sure several other contests this week and stuff. Like I said, we've had a Verizon, or actually a version of Verizon for years, for probably 20 years in cell phones. And we went to actual change over to the new Verizon plans about a year ago. And ever since we have lost our service at the lake down in Brownwood. And I'm not sure what's going on or why. But can't get no one to answer why we can't get service down there. So when we get down there, we just... we're kind of no man's land. We don't have service. We don't know anything that's going on. So it's kind of like being back in the old days. So, like I said, we didn't get to see a lot about what was going on. And looking forward to hearing from some people, see what we've got. I've got the chat room open now. It's like Jason's in there. And So I guess he said that we're up and running. So that's good. I can't even talk tonight, so. So anyways, so that's kind of what we did. Like I said, we spent the day down in Glenrose, Texas, and yesterday. Had a great time, and learned some new techniques, some different twists on, what we do out there, and I would highly advise people if they hadn't, to go down and take Jeff's class. Like I said, we went through a lot of stuff, and he gave us a lot of information, and it was pretty good. I really enjoyed it. So, it's probably one of the most laid-back classes I've ever been to. Not that I've really been to a lot, but it was very informative. I mean, we cooked, he cooked all three categories for pretty much IBCA, and, did about a 14-pound brisket in about 6.5-7 hours, and finished. I mean, that was injecting, rubbing the whole nine yards. Had a great flavor when it was done. It was a very good brisket. So, it was kind of it was a neat day to see all that stuff, run a little hot and faster and that end of it. So, it's always good, if you got time to, and, you can afford in your off season, go sit in a class or two and, just learn some different things, but, some different, aspects that, other guys have and stuff. I mean, it's kind of neat sometimes to see, how they do things and, if it's different or, it may be that, it's one little tweak or something that you learn, on something you've already been doing. And, you just never know. It's, it's kind of a neat thing. I said, if you never have, I'd advise it. And, I've said in a couple now, and, always pick up, something out of every class I've been to. I know the Outdoor Chef, as a matter of fact, they had a class today. As far as I know, I don't think it got canceled. And like I said, but I hadn't heard what was going on. I know that they were shutting roads down and stuff over here earlier, and I don't know exactly how it went. And as I know, Todd texted me here a little bit ago. He was headed back to Hobbs, and he said the roads over on his side of Lubbock were pretty rough, and I come through Lubbock. Lubbock was pretty rough, and when I got into Plainview out here towards my place, it was kind of a touch and go there for a few minutes, so... it's always a lot of fun to pull the trailer in snow and ice. Jason, he's posting here in the chat room. I just clicked over here real quick, and he said the same thing with him. I mean, classes make a big difference, especially if you're new to compete. And, I mean, that's absolutely right. I mean, if you're new and you can afford to do it, I highly suggest it. I didn't. I went several years before I ever, did anything with a class or anything, and, was fortunate enough to, go to hitting in our second contest, so, we were very fortunate in that. I hear it more and more because, there's more and more people competing, and it's getting more competitive, it's becoming a bigger and bigger sport, that, guys are having problems, not getting calls, and the other thing is, especially like IBCA and Lone Star, and I mean, it's a subject got brought up again this weekend, is if you're not in the top 10 or on the final table, you don't know what you're, where you're at or what, what's going on, and that is discouraging for some people, and, we also talked a little bit about judging and stuff, and we had some of that down there, and we had some discussions about that end of it. And, that's always That's always a hot topic also is judging, especially if we're talking about, IBC versus KBCS or FBA or any of them. So that always kind of becomes a, like I said, anymore it's kind of a hot topic. And there's lots of different variations, I guess I would say, that what people think or don't think, and I've kind of found, personally, I think that, we get a lot of the, very similar results, regardless whether they're certified judges or non-certified judges or if they're new. I mean, we even talked about that, with the FBA, like the Hobbs contest, where, they went in there and they did do a little bit of training and stuff with the judges, but they were all new to it. I mean, they weren't any experience at all. But I mean, once again, I mean, they picked, Jim Elster. I mean, Florida boy won it. And, these people were all from Texas and Eastern New Mexico. So, I guess that's got to say something. I mean, you go back to the public judge and stuff like that, and I mean, you still have, some pretty interesting results. So, like I said, it's there's lots of different opinions, and I don't know that any one opinion is right or wrong. But that's just I guess that's what makes it go around, and what makes it neat is that we have different views and stuff like that on it, and so. And Jason here, he's saying again, he wished that he'd taken a class in the beginning. I've taken two so far. Anytime I improved my cooking last year, the class paid for itself, literally. So, once again, I mean, and I hear that time and time again. People go to, good classes and they have great results. I mean, and it's like, it's like we were talking about a few weeks ago. It was like Jeff White's class. I mean, Brett Galloway, the Steak Cooker Association, the man that founded it. I mean, went to Jeff White's class, and, the next contest he cooked, he won a grand champion. So, that has a lot to say about, that end of it. I mean, sometimes it's those little things that, make a huge difference. And, so I'm sitting here amazed. We've had below freezing temperatures for almost a week here in West Texas, and I'm still killing flies in my trailer. Unreal. So change the subject there a little bit there for a second, but it amazes me how long that damn thing can live, and. I can say this, though, they're pretty cold tonight, so they're not moving a lot. I'm getting a pretty good jump on killing them. Maybe this will be the end of them. So, but anyways, like I said, that's kind of where we were at and what we've been doing. And like I said, we had a really good time, and I mean we. Went from about 8 o'clock to just about 5 o'clock this evening, I mean, on, the whole process. So, it was, pretty neat, to see all that. And, met a good wood guy down there. Matter of fact, had a man show up, he called, been doing some of his wood down there. I mean, it was pretty unreal. Man showed up about 4:30 and, I'd ordered a quarter and a half of wood, but he brought closer to 2, and literally, I backed up my trailer, and the man unloaded it and loaded it back on my trailer. I didn't have to do anything but throw a strap over it, and I was done. And as a matter of fact, he already had one strap on it when I got back out there where he was at. So it was a great deal. Probably the best $350 I've spent in a long time. So, and he did a great job stacking it too, because I just I pulled it for about 400 miles in the last 24 hours, and I don't think I lost a stick of wood. So that's pretty good. Pretty good. So that was really a good deal today. So like I said, it worked out really well. I mean, it worked out. Got to sit in the class and get wood and the whole nine yards. I was going down to get wood to begin with, and so it just worked out when Jeff was having his class that, you know, we could go down, sit with that, and you know, it just so happened he had a wood guy, so, you know, I didn't have to even mess with that today, because that's what I was going to do on Sunday. I was going to, you know, go get wood, and man, it worked out great. I didn't have to do any of that. I mean, and especially having to load it and unload it, you know. I guess I'll have to unload it here, but, you know, I don't mind handling it once. You know, that's not too bad. That's pretty good, really. So, so if anybody's listening, they're down around Jeff White's area. You know, I'd suggest look him up and he'll get you picked up. Well, looks like we got Dirt City Smokers in the house now. He just told me about time. It's pretty to be talking trash. So that's always good. And if you really want to talk some trash, you'd call in, you know. We'll see if we can get him to call in. And, because, you know, he texted me earlier. He's like, you know, always. He's like, where are you at? And Kirsty just posted that, you know, we were driving 40 miles an hour. And, you know, went through a couple of wrecks. And matter of fact, I-20, they shut I-20 down just outside of Sweetwater. Put everybody on the access road because they'd rolled about a 35, 40-foot fifth wheel. And, oh boy, I guess he did a pretty good job because he didn't roll the truck. He managed to keep the truck upright, and it jerked the fifth wheel completely out of the bed, and was laying on the side of the road sideways on both lanes. And he was over on the side, tore up the tailgate a little bit, and maybe tweaked the bed up a little bit. But other than that, it looked like he was pretty good. So I'm not sure exactly how he managed that one, but it was pretty damn good. I'll have to give him a pretty good job on that one. So, but, you know, like I said, it's that time of the year, and you never know. I mean, you know, we heard about the storm coming in last night. They were talking like it was going to be Lubbock North, and lo and behold, as usual, they kind of missed the forecast. Kind of thinking because we hit it, like I said, we hit it at about Sweetwater, and like I said, it's been with us all afternoon, and I was glad to finally be home. So, I got snow everywhere. Be fun. I always have a mess to clean up, as usual. But it's gonna be fun. We'll get back to cooking this next weekend. We'll be selling barbecue and getting ready for Thanksgiving. That's coming around the corner. Oh, looks like we got someone in here. Oh, all right, hold on, man. Let's see who we have. 432-813. You're live.
It's Todd.
Well, Todd. What are you doing, man?
Nothing. Just rolled in the Hobbs.
Oh, well, you're in Hobbs. Well, good.
Yeah.
So, it's not that bad down that way?
Nah, once you hit like Roseville, the roads are pretty dry, so it was just very getting out of Lubbock, man. People sliding all over the place.
I'm telling you what, Lubbock is bad, dude. I've never seen Lubbock that bad, I don't think. Or if I have,
yeah.
I've forgotten about it. I mean, it's like they've done nothing.
Well, they're trying to. I just don't think it's doing much good right now. I got to wait for everybody to get off the road.
Well, I said it was crazy.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, I don't know how I missed it. You know, I come in, you know, the Slayton Highway, and I ended up on Q somehow. And I was like, man, what the heck? But I'd like to slid through an intersection, you know, having lights changed over there. You know, they don't give you a lot of notice.
Yeah.
And, man, I was practically standing on the brake. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. There were people already coming. I thought, well, this ain't going to be fun. So, it was kind of hairy there for a minute. But, you know, and I thought, you know, we did pretty good because, you know, with two cords of wood, a trailer, and, you know, my 10,000-pound pickup, you know, we were probably 15,000 pounds.
Yeah.
We were in a lot better shape than some people. But, you know, it's like all them tech kids, man, they were just blown through over there.
No, they're good, clueless, man.
Snyder and stuff like that, and I was like, man, you guys, you can learn.
Yeah.
When
well,
I
they already
here,
had a bunch of wrecks down in Slayton. Something they've already had four fatalities, like as of like 3 o'clock.
Yeah, see, so. that's what Kirky was saying. She was, you know, kind of on the internet a little bit, or I guess someone was texting her and telling her what was going on. They said that I guess they had a couple up here, you know, just south of us too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I ran anywhere from 30 to 50 miles an hour pretty much from Sweetwater. Because like I said, Sweetwater's where it really got, you know, when they rolled that fifth wheel over there, that was, I don't know how that old boy didn't flip the pickup. I mean, he come completely disconnected, and he was sitting over in the median and with his truck running. And like I said, it torqued the tailgate. And it looked like, you know, it may have tweaked it a little bit. But, I mean, I bet it was a 35, 40-foot fifth wheel. And it was laying on its side across the highway. And his truck didn't look too bad, I mean, considering all.
Wow.
I guess kind of like Kirk's deal, really. You know, I guess Kirk, you know, same thing
yeah.
as his. You know, he didn't roll his either. You know, so, you know, because I don't know if he hit the guardrail or something like that and it kept it upright. I couldn't see the passenger side of the truck. You know, there may have been more to
yeah.
see on the other side of it, but, you know, it didn't kill anybody, thank goodness.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're digging my point as well. So what have you been up to?
Oh, nothing. I kind of wanted to give a little plug, honestly. We've got a little, I guess, a benefit that we're cooking for this weekend coming up over at Lubbock Custom Motorcycles. It's off of Clovis Highway in Indiana, I believe. But it's for some families that need some money to help cover some costs for their kids. They have cancer, and so we're doing a little benefit for them, doing a silent auction, going to auction off one of our briskets, and we're picking a bunch of pulled pork and stuff like that. It's going to be a deal on its own Saturday, and it'll be from 11 o'clock to whenever. But as far as I know, we're expecting quite a few people and trying to raise some money to help some people out. So just want to kind of get the word out there, see if anybody might show up.
There you go. Well,
if they hear we're cooking, they might not. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Never know, man. Well, heck,
yeah,
I'm going to look up pictures.
It's supposed to be a big deal, so sad. The TVs, the KCBD is going to be there. So we're going to start cooking on Friday night, I believe.
Really?
So, yeah. So we're going to, we'll see how it goes. I'm going to do quite a few pork butts. So.
I guess that's what we were talking about yesterday then.
Yep, I was trying to get an idea because I don't know all that stuff yet, so, you know, trying to get an idea, so.
I mean, it's like I've said before, pork butts. I mean, you don't have a lot. I mean, you don't lose a lot in them, you know. So
yeah, you know,
you get a lot more out of pork butts. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's pretty much, you know, you just don't have near as much loss that I see. So
yeah,
so I think, you know, what we talked about, you'll be more than plenty.
It's nice whatever you can do for it, but because in general, it's cheaper than brisket, and you can usually feed more people or, you know, have a better yield, so.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not, you know, I don't mind doing it.
Yeah, that's what it kind of screwed me up, you know. I got back to Brownwood, and it's about 100 miles from where we're at, out at the lake in Brownwood to where it was Jeff White's place out there, and, so I got in and unhooked the trailer because the girls had been sitting at the lake all day. You know, they didn't have a ride or anything.
Yeah.
And so we went back in to eat last night, and then we had to run by Walmart. And I was looking at Walmart down there, and of course they were select. But I mean, you know, if you're just selling barbecue and stuff like that, ain't no big deal. But their brisket down there have been $2.98 since September 20th.
Wow.
According to the tag, I took a picture of the damn tag, and I was like, I'll be damned. And I'm fucked.
Must be nice.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, so.
You got to buy them by the case to get them that cheap up here, if you can even get them that cheap.
You can't get it that cheap even by the case. You know, I was in Sam's today, and Sam's was $3.45 by the case.
Yeah.
Last week. I guess, yeah, it was last week. I didn't cook this week, so yeah, last week. And I was like, crap. And you know. So I was sitting there like, man, I probably should have grabbed a few, but I didn't. I really like cooking his choice that we get from red meats, you know. They cook up good. They cook fast.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But you know, that's like Jeff yesterday cooked two primes yesterday from ATB, and I mean, he cooked a 14-pound packer, didn't trim it. I knocked a little bit of the silver skin off the top. I mean, very little. Injected it, rubbed it, threw it on the pit, and it was off the pit. It was off the pit before 4 o'clock. I'm going to say by 4:30 we were slicing it.
Wow.
And it was melting your mouth. And Hunter didn't see that pit. I don't think that pit ever got over 300. And he cooked the ribs.
What kind of pit is he running?
Arno. All set.
Arno.
Uh-huh.
Just a straight draw?
Huh?
Just a straight draw one-step cooker?
Yep. Yep.
No, it's nice.
Nothing special at all. Cooked chicken in 2 hours, did ribs in about 4. Had all that going on in that same pit at the same time.
Well, you know, I'm hoping that after I clean all the crap out of the bottom of my pit today, that thing will cook a hell of a lot better.
You have a little bit of milk in there,
do you? Oh, my God, man, because I've done, you know, doing all those, if you do anything with bacon, then you better watch out. You know, that, and then we had, you know, we did poppers at tailgate, and of course, there's cheese all over the place. And, yeah, everything burns to a solid cake, so, you know, the way my pit's set up, I didn't have any of those openings at the bottom for the front 2 feet of the pit up by the firebox, so I was only getting radiant heat, which, you know, sometimes isn't much. So I couldn't, you know, I wasn't getting any temps on that end. That was our problem last time we cooked on it. So, yeah, I pulled the grates out and got out there in the snow today and went at it with a screwdriver and a steel brush and got all that crap off, and now she should draw like a champ. So I guess now I know what I got to do about every other cook. I need to get in there and put some elbow grease on it. But
there you go. There you go. Well, man, I guess the lake even got snow because Ron Powell lives you probably hadn't met Ron. He cooked down at Novice with us this year. And as a matter of fact, he was over at Jeff White's school yesterday. And he got snow on the ground there now. They said he's from like Minnesota or somewhere up in there. They said snow on the ground in November in Texas is really ridiculous. Don't worry, I sent pictures to Al Gore wanting the explanation on his global warming bull crap. So, well, I got some rub in, dude, but
oh yeah,
it's not. Yeah, my labeling's a little wrong, but I got my pork and chick. And matter of fact, a couple guys tasted it yesterday, and they liked it. This is the stuff you put in the shaker.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So, they got a little situation that I don't know what we're going to do. So, because something happened with the labeling in the lab. So, it just says West Texas chicken and pork.
So no pit masters on there, so it's just
yeah, no pit masters. So yeah, yeah, we're a little generic here. So, but the rub's good. There's nothing wrong with the rub. Just,
yeah.
So I'm thinking about just having some labels made real quick, and I was supposed to get a box of chicken and pork and a box of rib rub, but I ended up with 2 boxes of chicken and pork. So I've got 80 pounds of it sitting here. So, I guess you may have to come up Friday night and get some if you want some.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I got 120 pounds of pork I got to cook.
Well, come up and get some. Put it on there.
Yeah, well, we might try that. What about anything? You don't have anything
else
yet?
Drag your pet up here Friday night for a while. Hell, come up here and hang out with
me. Oh, yeah, that's what we'll do. Yeah, I'll just drag it. 45 minutes north, just to
hang out with me.
I don't think that. I like you, but not that much.
Oh, really? Okay. Of course, we could get on my pit and it'd already be done.
Yeah, well, that's going to be remedied. Don't worry about that. We're still trying to find somebody to do some work on ours, so.
What do you want to do?
Gotta
you just need some welding on it?
Well, I want to close off that vertical and then make the pit into a reverse flow. Make all the trays slide out. We're going to do reverse flow with tenon plate. No, I don't.
You got a welder?
No. No,
well,
but I'm going to do that.
You got a T20? You got a T20 plug or Jason have a T20 plug? Well, I'll tell you, I might be willing to come down. We can plug in my welder and we can do it. I have cutting
Well,
and
I'd
all
be
that.
Willing. I'd be willing to bring it up there.
Well, we could even do that.
Place, but, well, the thing is, I'm trying to find somebody in Lubbock that would be willing to trade for those 2 tanks that I've got and that little, 5x10 trailer that I've got for some labor.
I might still be interested in that. Because I keep this crap cooking up and up. That that may work out for me too. I may need to build.
You have 2 good tanks. I think they're pretty solid. I mean, the trailer's probably a little tiny for what you're gonna do, but it's worth $400 or $500. But
you said that's a 5x10 trailer.
Yeah, I think it's 5x10.
Well,
put a pit on it pretty easy.
We need to talk about this because. Actually, what I might be interested in doing is cutting a tank in half and building a steak cooker.
There you go. See? That's a good thing I called in. We're going to have to talk then because, we want to make our pit in the reverse flow and then we want to do some modification on the firebox and add a rib cooker over the firebox, make the smoke go through there, and put us like a 6-rack rib cooker on the end, and some slide out trays, and then add a propane burner to the vertical, close that off, make that into more like an oven or a warming area for sides and stuff. Basically set it up for catering, so we can do bigger cooks on it. And so I think the way I've got it planned out ahead is going to work for us. So.
Okay.
That way we don't have to go spend. That way we can spend our money on a covered trailer and get the new, you know, kind of setting up our competition rig, you know, with the UDSs and trailer and all that stuff. So, but, yeah, we need to talk then.
Yeah, I said because you know that a 5 by 10 foot. Yeah, so that may work out good. I could split one of the tanks in half. And actually what I do is I just take and build a Santa Maria grill out of the damn thing.
Yeah. Well, I've got a 250 and then I've got like a 105. Those are my two tanks I've got. I don't know what the rust, you know, I don't know what they look like on the inside. I'm sure they're rusted out a little bit, but.
Well, but I mean, that's the whole thing about it is, I mean, I'm just.
They're heavy as hell, man. It ain't no rinky-dinky tanks. These things are. This one still has the manufacturer's tag on it.
You know, and it's, well, I say San Maria. I might even do a San Maria. I might just, you know, put lit, you know, lit it, you know, hinge it to where, you know,
yeah,
we could still close it. But, you know, it, that would be great to be able to do coppers and stakes and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because that would be long enough still. I mean, we could do that. And, like, you know, like next year when we do cotton bar and stuff like that, I mean, we'd have, you know, another pit. Because I want to do some more of that stuff, and so, I mean, it's like corporate stuff. I mean, you know, hell, we cook a lot more damn steaks that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, see? That's it.
There?
That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that can get something out of what I've got to offer, and I still get what I need. Everybody's happy, and we just, you know, exchange the material, do a little bartering. That way I'm not out of pocket a whole bunch, you know. So, and I've got some material that, you know, I've got some expanded metal and stuff like that at my house that I can use, and I've got some angle and stuff like that to make grates and, or, you know, pull out grates and all that. So yeah.
Okay.
That's all. So yeah, we need to talk. So
good
deal. Be something good to come up there on the weekends, get me and Jason up there and maybe learn how to weld.
Well, now, wait a minute. I don't know about that. I mean, we're going to talk about that. I don't know if I'm giving classes on welding. You know, I'm kind of past that.
Oh,
no, yeah. I'm kidding.
Well, I need, I've been wanting to buy just a little cheapo, you know, like a little 90 amp, little flux core welder or something.
Yeah, I mean,
but,
I've got a,
you know, just,
I've got a
just
stick.
Just a little something
I mean,
can learn.
You know, I've got a stick, and I mean, we can, you know, that's the nice thing. You know, when you get into that rusty metal and stuff like that, you know, wire welders don't work real well.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get everything pretty clean. But, you know, you take a stick and, you know, hell, you can weld just about anything. And so, yeah, I mean, we can do that, you know. And, you know.
Well, do you have the means to cut steel and all that, too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got a torch and all that.
Okay.
I mean, that's how I did all mine. I mean, I cut all mine with a torch and a chop saw.
Yeah.
Mostly a torch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I've always done it. I mean, you know, you've seen my pit. You know what it looks like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it may not be a Jambo. It may not be an Orno, but, you know, it's traveled many miles and still together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And, so, all right, guys, if there's anybody out there, y'all call in real quick, and you don't have to talk, but I'll key you in, and then that way you don't lose it. We'll go here for a few more minutes. It'll let us probably go about another 20 minutes or so.
Yeah,
we got about 90 seconds left for it to throw you out. You can talk a few more minutes, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I texted Jason and told him to call in to – plug this weekend because he knows a little more about it than what I do. But, you know, just that thing, we were cooking for about 100 people, and then Saturday they decided that it was going to be about 200 plus, so we had to up our, you know, double our quantity more or less. So it's got to be a big deal. So we're just hoping it does good and get our name out there a little bit, raise some money for some, you know, families in need. So.
Yeah, I'm going to refresh the board here real quick. Hopefully it'll work. But, you know, that's the deal. And that's what I was going to say is, I mean, if you want to come over here and get some of this rub, I'll donate the rub.
Okay. All right.
That's why.
Yeah, we'll not have to. We'll have to do that. Are you gonna? You're not gonna be in Lubbock anytime this week, are you?
I might be down there Thursday night, actually. Let me see. I probably will, because I mean, I'm gonna have to have meat and stuff this weekend for my. Me and the damn. I'm fixing. What the hell happened here? I don't know what the hell happened to the server. It's probably going to kick everybody off here in a second, but I'm still having hell with it. I don't know. Blog Talk Radio, sometimes I want to shoot them. So, but we'll keep going. But, yeah, I may be down on Thursday night, actually. Well, I will have to be down. I got to get meat. I got to have something cooked this weekend. I'm almost sell barbecue.
Well, probably just have you get in contact with Jason then and just get him the rub, and yeah, we'll definitely use it for a lift. You know, sure. Something like that, you know, on those catering deals, you know, it's not competition, so we're debating the idea of injecting. I don't know if I want to go through injecting.
I wouldn't inject.
Well, pork butts, you know. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was telling Jason, I said, on something like this, you know, if it's a little bland, you can always add stuff later. Which we shouldn't have that issue we haven't before.
I mean, all
so.
You got to do is just add some sauce to it. I mean, rub them down, and then when you pull it, people think it's the world's greatest hit that you've ever done.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're talking about. You know, I said we'll hit it real heavy with some rub the night before and let it kind of sit in it, you know, saran wrap it up, let it sit real long. And maybe that'll help get a little penetration, and then, you know, I said, if we need to, we'll just throw some rub in it after we get done pulling it, or some sauce or something like that. Make it really tasty,
yeah.
So.
Damn, it's cheater. Oh, well, sure, everybody, it looks like good old Blog Talk Radio, and what the hell. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the deal. I mean, that's what I would do. I mean, you know, shit. I mean, you can get away with a lot right there. That's all you got to do. I mean, you know, people think that, you know, I have the world's greatest pulled pork in the world. And my buddy down here, has got the barbecue joint. You know, he was sitting over with me the other night. And, we were talking about pulled pork because he's not a big fan of pulled pork. And I keep trying to tell him, like, you know, there's a lot of damn money you can make in pulled pork because of the cost. And there's a lot of people that like pork, you know. Regardless of what we all think about it, and I mean, you know, most of us are beef people, and you know, I can take it or leave it. I mean, there's times I can eat it, and you know, if it's done right, it's not bad, but, you know, it's not my favorite thing, and you know, if I had my choice between it and a piece of beef, I'm eating a piece of beef, you know. Now,
well, you know, I mean, I'm starting to get pretty fond of it, actually.
Mm-hmm. See, some people are. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, but I mean, I sell a bunch of it, and it's like I sell him. You know, he's like, man, he said, it just gets so mushy, you know, all day. And I said, you know, I said, what I've learned to do with my pulled pork is, you know, when I'm selling it all day long, I mean, I don't mix the sauce in until right when I'm serving it.
Yeah.
I mean, so someone comes and orders it, that's when it gets salty. Up until then, they don't have sauce. I don't lose the texture of the meat so much because that's what
a lot of time your sauce, if you do it like that and let it sit on there, it loses its flavor a lot. You know, it just doesn't have the punch that, you know, right out of the bottle that you get, you know. It doesn't matter what sauce you use. I've noticed that if you go to, you know, if you got some leftover stuff and you try it the second time, you know, after it's been sitting in that sauce for a while, it just doesn't seem to have the punch of the sauce anymore. So,
no.
So, yeah, I'm a big fan of that. Well, like this weekend, you know, we had a tailgate. I did a crock pot pulled pork just because I had about 3 pounds that I'd froze from the Arkansas game. And we brought it out, and I put it in the crock pot and let it warm up. And we put 2 cans of enchiladas, green chili enchilada sauce on it. Man, everybody ate it up. It was gone. You know, but it didn't have any sauce on it whenever I froze it. You know, I just pulled it and threw it out in the freezer. And, yeah, that was great. It turned out real good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so. Wow. Man, Jim Elser won the World Barbecue Championship this year.
Did he really?
Yep, Sweet Smoke Q.
That's that one in Vegas they had this weekend, right?
Do I know?
So is that the one in Vegas this weekend?
That was the one in Vegas, and they won it. They won the barbecue part of it, and unreal. There's another daggum fly.
Still
a dead fly, huh?
Yeah, they're still out there, aren't they?
I am not kidding you, dude. I mean, you know what's funny though, is I put a little one of these little bitty ceramic heaters in the trailer.
Yeah.
And I got home. I mean, I've been gone all weekend. And I walked in this trailer tonight, and with that little bitty heater, I mean, it's not 12 inches tall. It was 54 degrees in this trailer.
Nice.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
Wow.
You know?
I'm really, you know, next spring when we start competing, you boys are out freezing. You know, well, you may have a covered trailer by then, but rest.
Hell yeah,
I'll
have a covered trailer by then. I ain't screwing around with that. That's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna get in a heater too.
I'm going in here and I'm shutting the door and that's it.
Well, you're still gonna have to listen to Toby with his coyote
call. I'm walking Toby out. I'm gonna give him the horn. I'm going to give him the horn.
Yeah.
So, but, man, dude, I brought back a ton of wood.
Yeah,
$350. That was $350 worth right there. That was a hell of a deal.
That is a great deal.
I mean, and like I said, he loaded it the whole night. I didn't have to do anything, dude. Matter of fact, he was putting the strap on the front. I just got back out there in time to put the strap on the front. He was already strapping the back. I mean, I was like, hell, this is great.
Yeah, that's a hell of a deal. Hell, I'm going to have to work on my little 5x10 this weekend and swing through there on Saturday after Thanksgiving and see if I can score something. Be nice.
Yeah. This is all red oak and post oak too.
See, that's what you've been running though, right? Is the oak?
Yeah, I mean I've had some live oak in there too, but I mean this is good stuff right here, man. I mean most of it's center cut. It's almost a little green still, but you know, and he was like, you know, he said that's why I gave you a little bit more. He said, well, it's almost a little green. I said, hey, by the time I get to it, because I still got some wood left, I was like, no big deal, man. I mean, I love this. I mean, this time of the year, and have a little bit of green wood, you know, because, I mean, it'll start curing out. Hell, I mean, shit, no, it's got some good weight to it. I don't know, it was a heck of a deal. Heck of a deal, you know.
Good deal.
But, so what time do y'all start serving Saturday?
They're talking. They want us to be ready to go about 11. So, yeah, I'm not sure what else is planned. Actually, you know what? We've got a flyer that I need to put on our Dirt City Smokers page. And
I'm sure on what section.
Yeah, I need to do that. I'm not sure. Let's see what else I got. Food and drinks, face painting for the kids, a silent auction, and all proceeds will go to the families of Zeddy Lopez and Miles Galvan. So yeah, it's on a 2833 Clovis Road, starting at 11 o'clock. To the families of Zadie Lopez and Miles Galvan.
Miles Galvan, okay.
Yep, so it's a
November 22nd, 2833 Clovis Road in Lubbock, starting at 11 a.m.
Okay.
So that'll be
at
Lubbock Custom Motorcycles. Yeah, it's off of University. Yeah. Sounds like it. I guess that'd be just west of University.
Yeah, I'll say it's right in there.
So.
Okay.
So, yeah, but they'll have the shop open. They got some pretty cool looking bikes and they got some cool. Yeah, I don't either. But they got some cool looking bikes that you can look at and they do a bunch of custom work. They do some killer airbrushing and graphics and stuff and paint, and then they've got all their, they got some cool t-shirts and stuff like that too. But yeah, get some people out there to come help raise some money, see if we can do it right. So
cool deal. That's pretty interesting. I just look it up. We had 20 people listening to it live tonight. I mean,
it's nice.
30 minutes. Oh, man. I don't know.
That's
been a while.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I had Chrissy post because I wasn't going to try to do it and try to stay on the road.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't have been a good idea. I thought about suggesting that in my text, but no. Wouldn't have been good.
Yep. No. Yeah. West Texas Pitmaster runs over some little cube car or something, be my luck.
Yeah.
Probably a load of firewood back.
Yeah. No
kidding. Oh, that's like, yeah. Oh, never good. Never good deal. No. But, no, this rub, I think it's going to be pretty good. I mean, this is the first batch of this stuff. And, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of excited about it, man. Well, it's funny because I let White taste it, and he put it right down. He went over and grabbed a bottle of his stuff, and he's like, "Man, that's kind of similar to mine." I was like, "What does your shit taste like?" And he's like, "I think you've been copying." I said, "No, maybe I will." he's got some pretty good rubs. I never have really, him and I have competed against each other several times. And I've never really tasted his, his product or anything. And I was pretty amazed. I mean, his brisket. That was pretty amazing yesterday. And I mean, it was pretty simple.
Yeah.
Now you could pass that up or pass that down?
I've been doing fast side down.
Even on
my offset, I started out, I was real heavy on the fast side up, and then I started, I was down the fast side up, even at tailgate, and then I started cooking on those UDSs, and you kind of need that fat down to kind of protect that meat a little bit. And then, got to thinking about how my offset is set up, and I was like, hell, I need to keep running with that fat side down. So that's what I've been doing. And, it's worked out fine. We've had real good luck with it. I don't know. There's not. If you read into the science, all that stuff, I don't think you're really gaining that much going fat side up as far as it basting your meat and all that stuff,
No, it just, the only thing I can see is that, it keeps it, I don't know, and maybe this is where they get it. I mean, it's not so much of the fats running through it or any of that crap there. But, I do notice that, when you run it fat side up, that, the bottom of your brisket stays wetter. Now, it don't build bark, but it'll stay wetter.
I could see that. But I've always had,
so don't, maybe,
I've had an issue
maybe
with
don't
the
dry
bark,
out.
So.
Well, that is, and see, that's the case. Now, and what I've been doing, and you've seen pictures of it here lately, is that, I'll run it fat side up for a while, kind of get the color where I want it, then I'll flip it over, and then I'll run it fat side down the rest of the time, and let it bark up some more, And, that had, for me, that has worked pretty well. you know, because I kind of get the color that the color that I'm looking for, and then I bark it up a little bit.
I've been going. We've had good luck here lately, and I'm sure it'll change once we convert over to reverse flow with the tenon plates. But we've had good luck running, you know, fat side down the whole time, and then getting our color like we like it, you know, and getting the temp right, and then we wrap it, and then I go, you know, once I get fairly close to temp, I'll unwrap it and let that bark set back up because I have the, you know, mushy bark syndrome. So I'll let that, you know, bark firm back up, and then, you know, then it's fine. And I don't know, you know, I'm sure there's other ways to do that, but that's the technique I found that's easiest for us. But, you know, on the UDS, I'm not going to have that issue. I get bark either way on the UDS. So,
yeah. So,
you know, we're going to have to do some practice runs with those once we get them built. Just kind of get back in the practice of cooking on those instead of cooking on a pit. But I still like the fat side down. I just like that protection. And I think it also, you know, I don't have to trim as much. I don't trim hardly any of that fat on the bottom. I'll get that hard fat between the point and the flat.
Yeah.
But as far as the bottom goes, if it's thick, I don't worry about it because for the most part, it'll render down to less than a half inch easy. And, you know, once you put it in the box, you're not seeing that stuff anyway. So I don't really worry about it as much as I used to. So.
Well, you know, and that's the deal. I mean, it's like with him yesterday, he didn't trim anything off of it really either, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know guys that do and guys that don't.
You know, there's some guys that are just hardcore. They're really, like, they're just persistent about it. You got to trim the fat. You got to really dress it up. I mean, hell, the most I've done to it is what I've been starting doing as far as, you know, comp cutting the flat so I get nice even pieces instead of having that, you know, rainbow brisket, a turn-in box. And, you know, and even with that, I still don't trim a whole lot of the fat. You know, I just, like I said, I just cut that hard stuff out. But I mean, I don't know. I think if you do it right, you don't have to mess with it too much.
No,
it's all about the technique. If you find your own technique, then you go with it. You know, if a trimming works for it, if you want to spend that much time on it, then you don't have at it. I really don't care.
Yeah.
But as for me, I just assume not spend that much time on it. You know, so.
No, I mean, well, I'm with you on that. I mean, I got enough crap to do without having to, you know, and, you know, and it's like I talked about, you know, hell, I mean, it's like, you know, I'm cooking for the public. I don't do nowhere near half the crap. And I mean, you know, I've got a good brisket every week, you know, very consistent brisket every week. And, you know, I hadn't done near what I do in a competition for it, you know.
I'll trim some of that stuff off, but I'm still not going to dip it that much.
Yeah. I hear you on that one.
To each his own. Everybody thinks you got to do it.
Well,
I don't.
I mean, some guys, you know.
It's been doing good, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like that's the other thing I say, you know. It's kind of like that fishing lure thing, you know. You find a damn fishing lure that, you know, you're confident in, you do well with, you know. It may not be have anything to do with a fishing lure, you know. But that's what you're confident in, and you use it, and it works for you.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And so, you know, don't mess with it. You know, I was pretty upset, you know, because I was one of them guys, like, that was Blake. You know, I got into those fat rats, repellents. And, man, I got to where, I mean, I was catching fish with them things all the stinking time. I mean, I kick everybody's butt with them one thing. Then repellent quit making them.
Yeah.
Like, that sucks. I mean, you guys have been making these things for 40 years, and now you quit. You know, and I was pretty devastated over it. And, you know, my fishing hadn't been near as good since then either. Thought about writing them about it, but. But I mean, that's the way it goes. I mean, you know.
Yep.
You know, I've got like 300 rattle traps, and I probably hadn't caught two fish in my life with them. They're pretty cool looking. I like them.
Yeah.
But they just don't do nothing for me. Now, my brother-in-law, he can use rattle trap all day long, and he'll catch fish all day long with it. I'll sit over and look at him like, I'm going to throw your ass in the lake because of that. You know? I can turn fish the damn thing, and I don't catch anything with it. Well, like, I get hung up. And, you know, it's like, so, you know, but I mean, that's it. I mean, he's got confidence in it, and he does well with it. And like I said, I mean, I think that's a lot of it. I mean, things that you gain your confidence in it, I mean, you know, you seem to do a lot better in it. I mean, that's with anything, sports or whatever. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
You know, it just seems to work. But, well, cool deal, man. Well, I'm glad you called in.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to cut this bad boy off. I'm gonna go put my pajamas on here in a minute.
I've had enough. Exactly. I'm going to do my time, and I'm going to go to bed.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I got up this morning. I mean, we didn't get up real early. Lexi kind of slept in, as she normally does on the weekends. And I told her, that's when we went to Walmart last night. I told the girls I'd make, and, you know, I kind of like breakfast. So, you know, we ate breakfast around noon. You know, I didn't hear about all this crap. And then, you know, of course, then we get on the road, and when we finally get cell service, you know, Chris's phone goes blowing up about all this crap, and I'm like, what? And I was like, crap. You know, I started hearing all this about, you know, it was going to hit us about Sweetwater, which it did, and then, you know, the casualties they had there around Slayton, and I guess they had some bad wrecks around Post, too.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we heard about Hell Center, and I was like, lovely. And then I was like, it's my luck. And sure enough, I mean, we hit it right where they kind of said we would. And, I mean, it had been a long, drawn-out day.
Yep.
So.
Glad you made it back safe. So.
Yep. Well, all right, buddy. Well, have a good week. And, all right, man, we'll figure something out. I'll get you guys some rub.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. All right, sounds good, man.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
we'll
buddy.
Talk to you later.
All right, man. All right, guys. Well, we're going to call it tonight. And I want to thank everybody for it was so late putting it on, but it's one of those things. And we'll be back on schedule next week. So we invite everybody to join in. And, you know, we'll get Wyatt on next week, and we'll talk about the school he put on and that end of it. And but everybody have a good week, and we'll talk to you later. Good night.